I thank you for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. We're looking at Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and the things that we can learn about our great God there. We've been looking at the powerful creation of God in chapter 1, and we want to delve into more of the creation that deals with mankind, man and woman, as we come now to Genesis chapter 2. And we continue to learn about the greatness of God so that we will obey Him and we will come and worship Him. God's Word helps us to know more about Him, and I hope that these lessons will encourage us to do that. Not just interesting information about how things began, but encouraging us to come and obey God. When you begin to look at the description given in Genesis chapter 2, 4 through 17, or 4 through 7, actually, we're going to focus on mankind. Hopefully in a future lesson, we will look at the Garden of Eden and then later marriage. But you begin to look at the creation of man himself, man and woman. You find the greatness of God there. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4, the text reads, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that Jehovah God made earth and heaven. And no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had sprung up, for Jehovah God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." With regard to the woman, later in the chapter, verse 21, "Jehovah God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which Jehovah God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." We find, that Adam and Eve are created directly by God. Mankind did not evolve from apes and monkeys. There are even those who are called evangelicals. These are people who claim to be Christians and Bible-believing Christians. They believe that there were other human beings in existence, and God took from them and gave Adam and Eve a special life. There were already human beings that had evolved from animals, and then God took two of those, a man and a woman, and gave them even more special traits in His image. That is becoming an actual very popular position among evangelical Christians. That simply does not match. We find Paul talks about the first man, Adam, the first Adam. In Acts 17, Paul talks about how that he made of one all the nations to dwell upon the earth. There are some evangelical Christians that believe that there were many, many thousands of Homo sapiens, and God simply took and made Adam and Eve special. But Adam and Eve are the very first human beings, and they are made especially by God. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4 and following, this is not a second creation account, but rather an expanded and detailed account of the creation of mankind found in Genesis 1, 26 through 31. It's an amplification and expanding. So on the sixth day, God created mankind, Adam and Eve, and then in chapter 2 and verse 4 and following, some of the details of how that happened. Both Genesis 1 and 2 look at the same event, the creation of mankind, from two points of view. In chapter 1, mankind's relationship to his Creator, made in the image of God. And in chapter 2, mankind's relationship to the woman. It's very important to understand that Adam and Eve are the height of God's creation. This is an all-important question. In Psalm chapter 8 and verse 4, David asks the question, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" That is a great question. What is man? It depends on who you ask today. Many people would say, well, he's just simply evolved from apes and monkeys. He's a highly evolved animal. It depends on who you ask. So it's a very fundamental and important question. Many humans act like they do not know who they really are. Others act like they know who they are, but they don't care. The view that we have of ourselves is very important, and it affects the way we live. If we just simply think that we're an evolved animal, we're going to act like an animal. But in Psalm chapter 8, in that passage that I referenced earlier, David writes, "For thou hast made him but a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou makest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea." Mankind is a special creation. Notice that David said he's made a little lower than the angels, not a little bit above the apes. There's a big difference. So man has a dignity here because he's created special by God. Where do we go for the answer? What is man? Do we go to fellow man? Do we go to the scholars? Do we go to the scientist? Or do we go to God for our answer? We need to go all the way back to the beginning. Why find the right answer? Well, when we find the right answer, we find the purpose for life and the true meaning of life and God's plan for human beings. I saw a recent YouTube video where Elon Musk was asked, "What is the purpose of life? What is the meaning of life?" He said, "I don't know. We haven't found that out yet. We just need to keep searching." This is someone who is well respected. He's not only made well known for making the Tesla car and for recently buying Twitter, but he is very well respected in the scientific community. A lot of people look to him. And he was asked recently, "What is the meaning and purpose of life?" He said, "We don't know. We haven't found that out yet." He's not sure. He was asked about the origin of mankind. He's not sure where mankind came from. He was raised in a religious environment. He attended a Jewish school. He attended some Protestant churches. He's familiar with Christianity. But he doesn't know where man came from. He doesn't know the meaning and the purpose of life. Those two things go hand in hand together. If you know the origin of mankind, if you have a particular view of man's origin, it's going to affect man's purpose and meaning in life. So first of all, mankind is a created being by God. Man had his beginning when he was created by God on the sixth day. This is contrary to atheism and naturalistic evolution. Man was a direct creation of God. Genesis 2, 7. "The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." The theory of evolution that says life came from non-life, that animals came from plant life and man came from animals, this simply is not true. Accordingly, man is simply the highest form of animal in the evolutionary chain, then it doesn't really matter how we act. And that's what some people believe. It doesn't matter if you have morals or not, or where those morals came from. People that believe that you evolved from animals, they also believe that morality evolved from man's own thinking. And so it wouldn't matter if you killed ultimately, or lied, or cheated, or committed adultery. It wouldn't matter. And so if man evolved from animals, then his actions are simply the actions of animals, highly evolved animals. We would have barnyard morality. The law of the jungle makes right today if this were true. Why not steal, kill, have sex with more than one mate? Animals do. Animals kill, animals steal, animals have sexual relationships with more than one mate. Some animals are monogamous, many are not. Why not just act like your evolved ancestors? Paul says that we cannot act any way we want. When we turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, the person who does not want to have God in his knowledge, that's the person that is acting any way he or she wants, and homosexuality is included in that list in Romans 1, 26 through 27, verses 28 through 32, a host of other sins, and it comes because we don't want to have God in our knowledge, and number two, it's because we worship and serve the creature, us, or other created things, rather than the Creator, big C. We cannot act any way we want. We cannot live like animals. So God, the greatness of God is shown in that He made man and woman, created in His image, and we already talked about that in a previous program. So He's created. Number two, He's a spirit being. Man is a spirit being, contrary to materialism. So we are a created being, contrary to evolution. We are a spirit being, contrary to materialism, that says the only thing that man is made up of is physical things. Mankind is made in the image of God. God is spirit. And we have a spirit. Man's spirit is eternal. It lives on after death. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 22, verses 29 through 32. Man lives on. Paul talks about the inward man that lives on after we die. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Materialism says that man has a body only. No part of man lives on after death. This is the view of the atheist, the evolutionist, and some, what we call American Christian religions. They believe the same thing. Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, Worldwide Church of God, that when you die, that's it. If man has no spirit or eternal spirit, then there is no resurrection. If there's no resurrection, then sin is of no consequence. Both the righteous and the wicked have the same fate, annihilation. If we are annihilated at death, then we can live any way we want while we are alive. If not, why not? And that's the whole point that Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, that there were some among the Greeks and Romans that took this position, there is no resurrection. If that's the case, let us eat and drink, for one day we die, it doesn't matter. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Paul says that we cannot live any way we want in this life because there is a resurrection where there will be an accountability when we face God. And that's why he closes that chapter with, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You're going to be raised one day and held accountable for what you've been doing, good or bad. So number one, man is a created being. Number two, man is a spirit being. And number three, man is a conscious being. Man's personality, his personal identity and conscious existence is a blessing. We need to have our own conscious personality. Contrary to Eastern religions like Hinduism and Buddhism, they try to get an individual to not have their own personal consciousness, but somehow be thinking that they are one with the universe around them, not try to be an individual, conscious individual, but have this oneness with the created world around them. But we are individual, distinct, conscious beings. God made in mankind, humankind, male and female. Chapter 127 and also 2:18 and following. Man and woman are two distinct individuals. Adam knew that he was not Eve. Eve knew that she was not Adam. In chapter 3 and verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, she took that fruit and gave unto her husband, and he did eat. And when God comes to address their guilt and sin, he does so as two different distinct individuals. Actually, Eastern religions say that man's personal consciousness and identity is actually a curse to be overcome. Man's goal in life is to escape from a personal identity and become one with the universe. He does this through meditation, self-denial, reincarnation, etc. This effort to escape from a personal identity destroys one's sense of personal responsibility. In chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were both held responsible. God did not accept their excuses and their blame and their hiding, but he holds them personally responsible. Your view of your own identity leads to your view of responsibility and accountability. It's very important. Both Jesus and Paul later in the New Testament say that each person will be raised in the last day and judged on an individual basis. There's many passages that talk about being judged according to the deeds that are done in the body. Matthew 16, 27, John 5, 28 and 29, Romans 14, 10, 2 Corinthians 5, 10. To give an account of the deeds that are done in the body. So we are individual conscious beings responsible to the one who created us. This is very important. Number three, then man is a conscious being. Number four, man has a place. And man can know his place in the world and utilize this for God's glory and God's service. It is clear from the narrative of Genesis 1 through 3 that the Creator and the creation are separate. Man is not God. God is not man. God is not creation, and creation is not God. We're not to become one with nature. We are not to become one with the universe. Many Eastern religions believe in some form of pantheism where God is all and all is God. According to them, God is not a personal, separate, distinct being, but some nebulous force that pervades all of the universe, and it is our job to tap into that and realize that we are a part of that force as well. If God is all and all is God, according to these Eastern religions, then man is God. Man is one with nature, which leads to worship of self. And that's exactly what we find back in Romans chapter 1. This eventually was the message of the New Age movement, made popular by Shirley MacLaine back in the 1980s. She got her ideas from Eastern religion. But man's place in the world in relationship to the rest of creation is he's not God. Man and woman are man and woman. And they are to subdue the earth, the animals and the earth around them, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and so forth, Genesis 1:28. Today, In some cases, it almost seems like animals are more important than mankind. Animals are to be treated better than mankind. There are all kinds of campaigns out there that to save this animal and to save that animal. And you can be fined heavily for hurting a particular animal, but it doesn't matter what you do with mankind. And the proof of that is the thousands of human beings that are aborted every day. We have abortion on demand, but certain animals, it seems like, are a protected class even more so than human beings. And yet, because we have bought into this matter of evolution, people just simply think that men and women are evolved animals. We're just all animals, and all are to be protected equally. We certainly don't need to purposely hurt animals, but mankind is supposed to have dominion over the animals and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Genesis 1:28. Mankind has an elevated place. We are not God. We are under God. But we are above the rest of creation. And that has been forgotten in so many places. So many places. We don't become one with the universe. We subdue it. So in our relationship to God, we have been created by Him. We need to be thankful. We need to be obedient. We don't need to become God. We are not God. We're not our own God. And we need to understand our place in the world. We are separate and distinct creation. We have a spirit where the plant and animal kingdom does not. We are conscious, made in the image of God, and we have a particular place, an elevated, exalted place in creation. And we must continue that. And then, with regard to mankind, we learn from Genesis chapter 2 that man has a real body. There actually are some religions that believe that pain is simply an illusion. The Christian Science take that position. Man has a real body. The first man was formed from the ground, like a potter forms the clay. And man has his own body. The Christian Science, founded by Mary Baker Eddy in 1879, they dismiss the real world as an illusion. In their book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, on page 283, it says, "Matter and its effects, sin, sickness, and death, are states of mortal mind which act, react, and then come to a stop. They are not facts of mind. They are not ideas, but illusions." And so there are all different kinds of weird ideas about mankind. We simply need to get back to the truth on these matters. If the world is not real in which we live in, and there is no real sin, then we are not held accountable for what we do in the body. And yet Paul says we are held accountable for what we do in the body. In Romans chapter 14, I'll just turn and look at one of those passages. In Romans 14, verse 11, "As I live, says the Lord, to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God, so then each one of us shall give account of himself to God." Same thing in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, similar language. John says, "If we say that there is no sin, we deceive ourselves." Jesus had a real body. He came in the bodily form. Some wanted to deny that. And we read about that in 1 John chapter 4 and 2 John. Some wanted to deny that Jesus came in the flesh. Death is real, the body is real, sin is real, pain is real, and we must deal squarely with these kinds of things. So friends, the creation of man and woman shows the greatness of God. And God elevates mankind. We are made in His image. That's why we are not allowed to murder one another. That comes out in Genesis chapter 10. We're made in the image of God, so we do not shed man's blood in that way. We're also told that not only is man in an elevated state, but God cared for mankind. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him." And out of the ground, Jehovah God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heaven, and brought them unto the man to see what he would call them. And whatsoever every man, and whatsoever the man called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And the man gave names to all the cattle, and to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for man there was not found a help meet for him. Now, in a future lesson, I hope to talk about marriage and how the greatness of God is shown in marriage. But notice right here, God did not want man to be alone, and so God took the initiative to make the woman. They did not evolve from apes and monkeys. They were not taken from human beings that already existed, and then they're given special privileges. They are the very first ones. And God shows not only that man is in an elevated state, but that he cares for man. He did not want Adam to be alone. Friends, we've got to get back to the truth on these matters. People are mistreating others today because they do not know that we're made in the image of God. People are acting any way they want because they don't believe in a resurrection and a judgment day. They don't believe that they're going to have to give an account to God one day. There's all kinds of bad behavior going on today based upon bad doctrines, where people have believed things that man has taught, and it's not just evolution. I've talked about some things this morning that deal with Buddhism and Hinduism and other man-made religions. It's not just evolution that causes problems. It's man-made religions about mankind and the makeup of mankind that also cause problems as well. So when we're getting false ideas, it's going to lead to false behavior. It's going to leave... Ideas have consequences. And when you have the wrong ideas about man and woman, then there's consequences. And we're seeing that, of course, also in this so-called transgender discussion, where a man can just simply say, "Well, I identify as a woman now." That's an idea, but it's having devastating effects and consequences that are causing serious problems for others. God made mankind male and female. Genesis 1:27. That truth and many other truths that come out in chapter 1 and 2, we've got to get back to that. And I hope, friends, that our study is helping you to see that. Not only the truth about ourselves, but the truth about the greatness of God so that we will obey Him. Let me encourage you to come be a part of one of our services. Let's study together how that you can do that. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.